very good to be back. We haven't done an interview in a while. And in fact, today we have a real treat. I like those interviews where we're talking with somebody who can answer most, if not all, of the questions that we have about important issues. And we're talking today, again, for the third time with Jessica Palma about election integrity here in South Dakota and what that means and what we can do. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in Jessica here. Jessica, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Coming through loud and clear. So let's go ahead and rewind the clock a little bit. I find myself like on Twitter, X, and Facebook, and whenever I'm talking about this issue, people always seem to say there's no evidence whatsoever of any kind of widespread election fraud, and there's no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. So let's rewind the clock a little bit and set the stage for the extremely important call to action that we're going to have later in the broadcast for what you can actually do peacefully and using the system that we have to recapture our electoral system. And maybe there's nothing wrong with it. Maybe there's nothing wrong with it, but we have no way to audit it. We have no way to actually go in, as far as I know, and verify this without making all the folks nervous. So, Jessica, give us a little background about yourself and about South Dakota canvassing. And then what happened, I guess it's going to be around 2020, that inspired you and others to start to work for the good, honestly, of South Dakota and our election process and our democracy and our republic, not just here in South Dakota, but honestly around the world. We need to set a bright, shining example. So I'm going to give you the floor to set that stage and just go ahead and share it, dish for us.
Sure. Well, thank you, John, for having me on again and as a representative of our group. And yeah, I am the lead of the South Dakota Canvassing Group, and our group started September-ish of 2021, and it was just a bunch of strangers. None of us knew each other before, and maybe it was late August, I can't remember, but we got together after the Cyber Symposium was hosted in Sioux Falls by Mike Lindell, and we were on a chat and decided that nothing was going to get done chatting on the internet, so we needed to meet in person. And out of that, our core group was born. And, you know, it's been quite a while, 2 years down the road now, at least from that. And individually, we had been doing at least a year of research on the elections, you know, by ourselves before we came to this group. And so it's been quite an adventure ever since. But we started, you know, by doing research, by buying the voter rolls, doing analysis of the voter rolls, looking at the state laws. We did door-to-door canvassing, and we've been to the legislature testifying for bills now 2 years in a row and working on legislation. We've given presentations of our findings. We've been on radio shows, TV shows. We've, you know, started a website. We have lots of social media outlets. Now we have a Substack, and we've been to the Board of Elections meetings. We've been working on the precinct strategy. So we've kind of just done everything that is all-encompassing to do with elections, and our focus has always been South Dakota. So our focus has been how do we do the elections in South Dakota? What are the processes? What are the procedures? What are the machines? What are the vulnerabilities? And we started asking a lot of questions. And here we are, you know, 2 or 3 years later with just more questions and a complete blackout on transparency in every county in South Dakota. And now, which has led to lawsuits. And so none of the things that needed to be fixed have been fixed yet. So we're still working, and we have a lot more to do yet.
Growing Business Solutions is an LLC started in Tucson, Arizona in 2004. This is John Dale, everyone. I founded Growing Business Solutions as the master's thesis for the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship Concentration in Entrepreneurship. Since then, I've worked professionally in enterprise software, delivering solutions to healthcare. I've delivered encryption software for the largest credit union in Canada. I put together a 52-gun raffle for law enforcement, a law enforcement association. I've delivered for higher ed, K-12, and other firms. I can design and build these applications from the ground up. They're scalable, fast, secure, privacy certified. I can also conduct audits, and I can perform consulting of many different technological varieties. Again, that's growingbusinesssolutions.com. Thank you. Now, there was a meeting in the fourth floor of the Capitol that I did attend, and that's where the CVR was discussed, and that's the digital trail, the digital audit trail for our digital electronic voting system here in South Dakota. And the county level auditors either didn't know what the heck that was, or they didn't know how to find it, or they didn't know that they were responsible for being able to look at that to audit the integrity of our elections. Has there been any progress on that specific issue with the CVR since then?
Right. Well, I'll go back to talking about Oney Johnson a little bit.
Okay.
But with the cast vote records, you are right. When we started asking for these things, there weren't any auditors in the state that knew what we were talking about. The Secretary of State's office acted like they didn't know what we were talking about. And so out of their ignorance, they sent out denial letters for our public records requests. And since then, they've dug themselves such a hole. Instead of, doing their research and due diligence and finding all the publicly available information from the EAC, which is the United States Election Assistance Commission, and the NIST, which is the National Institute for Science and Technology, and even the vendor's own website, ESNS's own website, and finding out that these records have been mandated by the federal government as a requirement for machine certification for auditing and transparency, because if you're going to run a completely electronic election, you need to have transparency for the people to trust the results. And so that was the reason why the standardization of the CVRs was made. And it's nearly 18 years ago, it was at 2005. And so that shows you how behind all of our election officials are in the state, and that they've been content with being ignorant and lied to by the Secretary of State's office and ESNS. So it's a major problem. And we've had to file lawsuits to get those cast vote records. We just filed a new appeal in the circuit court, and it's kind of round two of this. So we're not going to give up, because we know if we ever get our day in court where the evidence is actually laid out, they don't have a leg to stand on. Their denials and their lies will be exposed, and everyone will know that the cast vote records are a public record and that they've been denied illegally, and somebody has some explaining to do.
These are property of the public of South Dakota, and they're hiding them. They won't let us go in and audit the integrity of our elections. And unfortunately, in the minds of John's Q Public, it looks like the whole system is corrupt and has zero integrity whatsoever, which puts every single elected office in question in the minds of your average person. We don't necessarily think that any one of these I'll speak for myself. I don't think that necessarily any one of these politicians was illegally elected. I don't have that evidence. but the evidence would be in the cast vote record of past elections. What's happening to past data, the past CVRs from way back when they first started creating them? And what's happened to all of those ballots? They've been shredded in many cases after 24 months thrown away. So what, like, as a criminal enterprise, assuming that there was one, I'm going to try to be nice here, assuming there's a criminal enterprise that is systematically stealing South Dakota elections so that they can make laws favorable to those crime syndicates, what hope do we have of finding out about it? And what is that window of opportunity? And how far back can and should we go on that?
Well, we know that they have to keep federal election records for 22 months after a federal election. And it depends on the county how much information they have kept or destroyed. And it seems to be some of the smaller counties keep their records longer because they have more storage space. And some of the bigger counties need to purge those records because they don't have enough room to keep them. Now, digitally speaking, the fact that we had gone to auditors, like gone to their offices and talked to them and asked for the cast vote record, and they said, oh, I just have this flash drive in my desk and I never knew what was on it or how to get anything off of it. So whether they have them or not, I don't know. Being they never knew they were there in the first place, I'm sure they don't know either. But the fact is, they're saying we don't have any evidence of fraud. But it's not up to the citizens to prove that there was fraud. It's up to the government to prove that there wasn't any fraud. And they keep saying we have the gold standard of elections, but they have no transparency. They don't, they've been misinformed and turned around and misinformed the public on the audit trail and the availability of the audit trail. And so I liken it to this. It's everybody has a bank account or a financial investment account or a credit card. And all of those statements come on a regular basis. And it shows every transaction that went in and out of your account, your deposits, all of your deposits, and then your checks and your withdrawals, and that equals your balance. So what we're getting for our elections is a bank statement with a lump sum saying, here's your balance, and I can't give you any of the details of how much money, all of the transactions that went in and out of your account because, well, that's proprietary information and you can't have it. And you just have to trust us that your balance is right. So how long would you do business at that bank? I would take my money out immediately and say, no transparency, no trust, right? So that is exactly how our elections are being run. And that does not produce public trust. So if they can't give us the audit trail or won't, then we need to return to hand counting because, you know, the fact is 80% of Republicans do not trust the election system and 60% of all voters do not trust the election systems and believe that fraud has affected the outcome. Then why do we continue with this process on the taxpayer's dime?
So I mean, I'm a conspiracy factist at this point, and there are a lot of people now looking into this and paying attention. So many are new to the game and are coming, like Austin Powers waking up in that Austin Powers movie and coming to the realization about how much he's missed. And, you know, the conspiracy theorists are like 50-0 right now on a lot of this quote unquote crazy stuff. But it all starts with the ballot box because that's the key to appropriations and funding and money. That's how you get to the money. So, we, quote unquote, I always, you know, as a dutiful conspiracy factist, I have to say who we is and who they is. We is every losing candidate that has been in a South Dakota election, especially at the local level, for a couple decades now. So we, are we outnumbered here? And can a hand count model happen if we don't have control of our ballot boxes?
Well, you know, we've been petitioning. There has been citizens all across the state going to their county commissions, going to their auditors, saying they want to return to hand counting. Yeah, the people that don't trust the election system are in the majority. It's just the media has the narrative, right? They control the narrative. So we go to media like you and blogs and Substacks and all of those things to get the message out. So, no, we are in the majority. Those trying to cling to power by their fingernails are in the minority, and they're losing control of the narrative because too much information has gotten out and they know it. The way to take the elections back is the smallest jurisdiction possible. And whether or not, you know, your auditor wants to go to hand counting or your commission will or will not, we are asking and we've been working all across the state to get people to go in their county to the county commission to get them to vote on returning to a hand count.
This is John Dale. I want to share something with you that is near and dear to my heart, and that is my computer monitor. I'm a computer professional. I sit in front of this thing for my job every day, sometimes as much as 18 hours at a time. Over the years, I've been doing this for decades. I've developed something called computer vision syndrome. I have light sensitivity issues when I look away from the monitor. Now, if I step away from the computer for a while, it feels better. To work. I have to get my job done. And that's why I prefer digital ink monitors by DB Tadom. These things use that digital ink like an e-reader, so you don't have this light blasting into your face. They're awesome. Check it out. Go to dbtadom.com today. The Light Phone 2 is a premium minimal phone. It will never have any social media, clickbait news, email, an internal browser, or any other anxiety-inducing infinite feeds. It's an experience we call going light. It's a phone, it calls, it texts. There's a customizable menu of simple tools and a dashboard website to manage everything. There's a headphone jack, Bluetooth, and it can be used as a personal hotspot. The phone uses unique electric paper screen technology, also found in popular e-readers. This does not emit any blue light like a traditional backlit screen. It's visible in direct sunlight and limited to black and white, intentionally. So if you're interested in the Light Phone, go to thelightphone.com and tell them John Dale sent you. When the internet first came out, it promised to connect the world, and it did. Unfortunately, baked into the internet is the ability to get information about other people. Like lots of information. Of every imaginable type. We believe over time that by respecting your right to privacy, our communities become stronger and more trustworthy. At dbtadom.com, we believe that is a good thing to work for. Thank you. Thank you.
everywhere we've been have been saying is that they cannot find enough poll workers. So we've done a lot of research, and a lot of the state law is based around the county party chairs. So like the GOP county party chair and the Democrat county party chair have a lot of oversight and responsibility in staffing the elections. So all of those people that have been elected or appointed as precinct committee people or people on their executive board in their county have a responsibility to go out and canvass the voter rolls and to take a list and knock on those doors. And you know what? You can talk to your Democrat and independent neighbors too, because we need all party representation, because that's what helps secure the election. And so we go out and we recruit people and say, what do you want to do? You want to hand count ballots? You want to be a poll worker? Or would you like to be a poll watcher? And of course, if you're doing that on behalf of your party, then you're staffing poll watchers for all of your future GOP or Democrat candidates that will be coming up in the new election cycle. So then the GOP chair turns those lists into the auditor and or the Democrat chair, and the auditor has to use the people on those lists to staff their elections, because that's what the state law says. So we have documents on our website detailing all of that information for everyone, and that's part of the local oversight and local control that has been completely lost in past years and probably decades, where the county party executive boards have just not done any of that. So we're trying to return those executive boards to their oversight, informing them of the laws, and then fully staffing the elections. Because if an auditor has a list of, you know, 500 or 5,000 election workers, and, you know, they might be more swayed to return to a hand count when they know they have a fully staffed election. And the fact is, you know, the auditors owe no allegiance to the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State has no authority over them. The auditor and the county commissioners work for the people of their county. And so the county, the residents, taxpayers are their bosses. So we'd like to see them go to their auditor and say, here we are, we're going to staff our election. And then hand count in the precinct before those ballots are transported anywhere to secure the chain of custody.
So I was bouncing around in the cheap seats online one day a couple of weeks ago when somebody said, well, do you want a hand count when you've got, you know, a lot of votes to count? It'll take forever. So I'm like, this guy said he had a master's degree in computer science and dealt with parallel processors. I've got the master's in MIS, and I've built information systems that are distributed and parallel processing, and that's how you scale them out, as you parallel process. So I did a little bit of math, and this is very quick, so check me on this, but if you have 5 million votes to count, then you would need around 6,000 folks to do it in about 10 hours, and that's if you counted all the ballots, and usually you can mathematically eliminate one candidate without even counting all the ballots. So I think that argument goes away. In this day and age, we need good jobs where people feel fulfilled. I think especially the young people, they're looking for jobs where they don't hurt anybody, where they know that they're working for something that's good for humanity. And counting votes would be an incredible job to have. And I think there are a lot of people that would be willing to make some extra money if we could somehow pry a little bit of it loose from the quote-unquote establishment. Was it 2019, Casey, when I ran for mayor? I think it was in 2019, if I'm not mistaken. And we were doing it as a homeschool project, and I think you've heard this story before. Probably most of the folks listening have heard this story before, so I'll keep it short. But we wanted to learn about the civic process, and there's no better teacher than experience. So I ran for mayor, John Dale for mayor, and I was able to, on a budget of $30, get 246 votes, and then Mayor Boak tripled that up. And so I always wondered, you know, I didn't go knocking on doors. I showed up at their forum, which was not in any way a way to differentiate between the candidates because of the way they structure the questions. The whole process is just so well known and rigged from the inception through to the selection of candidates, in my opinion, that it's super disenfranchising for a lot of people to participate. But going to your county commission is something that will, for if you've got a county commission that is corrupted or incompetent or ignorant, going to their meetings en masse is really not going to make them happy. But right now, they're not going to be happy if our entire society breaks down because nobody can trust the outcome of elections. And so I think that it's probably a good time to make them unhappy. But when you go, be respectful. Maybe get a church mindset to where you are not there to hurt anyone. You're not there to attack individuals. You're there to attack the process that is weak. You're there to perform natural selection on anything contributing to lack of transparency in our process. You want to weed that stuff out and hope for that those processes, not people, die a gruesome death, if I might be so bold, because this is headed the wrong direction. It's out of the bag. The cat is out of the bag on this. And then since the election of 2020, it's a different ball game. And we've had now 3 years since that time when President Trump's electoral victory seemed like it was in the bag and vote counting stopped. And then we heard there was a broken pipe in Georgia. Then we saw images coming in of the guys blocking the windows in Pennsylvania. We saw the shenanigans in Nevada. Come on, in Arizona, give me a break. 2022 Arizona. Boy, the emperor sure does wear no clothes there right now. And like, where's this headed? And so I would just like to say, Jessica, I'm proud of you and I'm proud of Rick and I'm proud of all of the people who have exercised such restraint, because there, in a different time when whiskey was cheaper and bullets were more pervasive, this would have gone probably a lot differently given the knowledge that we have now that travels at the speed of light. Now, here in Lawrence County, because I have probably too much empathy or something. I don't like the prospect of, you know, getting a hanging tree and that kind of tit for tat that just can go on forever and ever. But here in Lawrence County, we've got, let's see if I can remember all their names. I know I can get most of them. We got Bob Ewing is on the county commission. Bob knew my grandpa, and he's a state senator that's termed out. And Bob is a conduit for you. Bob doesn't view himself as a dictator or an emperor. He's turned some people off because it seems obvious what to do sometimes, and he just doesn't do it because he's looking at both sides. He's looking at the public side, and then he's looking at the system, and he's trying to map up what the public might be able to accomplish. And so I would highly recommend reaching out to Bob, but for heaven's sake, be respectful. Hello everyone, this is John Dale of Pretty Little Ditties. I play original music and I do a lot of improv with my presentation. Every performance is different. I also love to teach and interact with people who appreciate and enjoy live music from a real person. I have deep knowledge and experience in music, and it comes through in the playing that I work hard to be able to bring to your event. If you'd like to have me out, please don't hesitate to drop me a note at info@plainstribune.com. Again, that's Pretty Little Ditties. That's what I'm calling my little music venture. So I'd love to hear from you.
Howdy, folks. Hey, are you struggling to find a way to stay fit in the wintertime? It's just so easy to kick your feet up and have that fourth cup of hot chocolate with marshmallows, isn't it? Well, I solved this problem for myself about 3 years ago when I started cross-country skiing. We found our way up to the Big Hill facility here near Spearfish. You just hop on Tinton Road, you head up there on Big Hill. That's maintained by the Black Hills Nordic Ski Club or something like that. They're on Facebook. If you look up Black Hills Nordic Skiing and Cross Country Skiing, you'll definitely be able to find them. It's changed my life. It gives me that edge in winter. I don't put on that extra 5 or 10 pounds that then I'm looking at every spring. And it feels great for those of you who are active. I can wholeheartedly recommend that you head up to Big Hill and check out those trails. Also look them up on Facebook and get some pointers and tips for your skis and how to wax them and how you can help to be a good citizen up there. So anyway, I'd like to personally thank Nordic Ski Club folks up there for the work they do maintaining that trail. It's a life changer and it's awesome. It's something that I think I would like to see become more popular in the area. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Growing Business Solutions is an LLC started in Tucson, Arizona in 2004. This is John Dale, everyone. I founded Growing Business Solutions as the master's thesis for the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship, Concentration in Entrepreneurship. Since then, I've worked professionally in enterprise software, delivering solutions to healthcare. I've delivered encryption software for the largest credit union in Canada. I put together a 52-gun raffle for law enforcement, a law enforcement association. I've delivered for higher ed, K-12, and other firms. I can design and build these applications from the ground up. They're scalable, fast, secure, privacy certified. I can also conduct audits, and I can perform consulting of many different technological varieties. Again, that's growingbusinesssolutions.com. Thank you. When the internet first came out, it promised to connect the world, and it did. Unfortunately, baked into the internet is the ability to get information about other people. Like lots of information. Of every imaginable type. We believe over time that by respecting your right to privacy, our communities become stronger and more trustworthy. At dbtodom.com, we believe that is a good thing to work for. Thank you. But the county commission meetings, if you go to the website, they have, I think, a couple a month, and they also have them on Zoom. And this is Lawrence County, and this is Deadwood we're talking about here. And I touched on this the last time we talked, Jessica, and that is, you know, the possibility of shenanigans coming from that establishment. I think it's Greg Martinez as the IT guy. So, you know, I don't know how he's not going to be looped in the voting machines. He seems like a really sharp guy, a real competent IT guy. And I'm not sure why we couldn't get this fixed between those characters right there. And I missed, there's some folks on the county commission that I've never personally met, and I'm terrible with names. So if I've forgotten your names, maybe Casey, don't bother. That's okay. Let's leave the stream untouched here. So my burning question here, Jessica, I know that money makes the world go round. And I know that if you want to get people elected, you've got to have money. And if you want to change things, you've got to have money. It comes down to an operational imperative. You've got to put gas in the tank. You've got to have people fed. You have to have them have access to showers before they go attend meetings, and so on. So is there right now any money that can be accessed to help with those basic things to help? Because there are a lot of folks who do have money, but I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. And those people out there who don't have money, those I kind of wonder if maybe they should be in the game. Is there some way we could line up a little bit of money and create an opportunity for people to participate who would not normally have that opportunity. So show me the money, Jessica. Where's the money in this?
I'm focused on, you know, the local action, people being involved where they live. And I'm not really focused on candidates. So, because I don't think running for office right now, is my focus until we can secure the elections. And so, you know what? Volunteering is free. You want to be a poll worker, you get paid for it. And returning to hand counting will definitely save every county money, because we're paying for software agreements and maintenance and stuff for these ES&S machines while they're sitting in closets. So returning to hand counting is going to save everyone money. And then some of that money that's being wasted on unverifiable, unauditable, non-transparent, not secure, internet connected, non-HAVA compliant elections could be converted into somewhere else in the budget while the people will be fully restored to their authority and involvement in elections the way American elections should be run. So I guess that's my focus. And if people want to donate to candidates, do not give your money to Win Red or Go Blue or Act Blue, whatever it's called. Give the money directly to the candidate, or give your money to organizations such as ours or other great ones out there like Rick with Midwest Swamp Watch, or some of these county groups, women's groups, Republican groups that are actively doing something, and you know they're doing something, not just saying they're doing something, but you've seen the evidence of them doing something. That's where we need to put our money, because continually feeding a monster or feeding a broken system is, you know, really the definition of insanity, doing something over and over again and expecting a different result. So if you want something different, you need to do something different. And that means every single person in our counties has got to get involved, sign up to work, and, you know, our active participation in the government is the way it was intended. And if good men and the local people are not actively involved in overseeing their government, that's how we end up where we're at today, with a completely broken, corrupted, runaway system that, and the more and more freedom that we give away, the harder and harder it is to get it back. So we have got to take a stand now, put a line in the sand right now. This stops, the insanity stops now. The government works for us. Every last person in public office is a public servant and a representative of the citizens of that county, and they are there for nothing else. So they need to be doing the behest of the citizens that they work for, or they can get out of office and let somebody step up who wants to represent the general public.
So I think you did a good job of deciphering that question, because it's a difficult question to ask for me especially. And I'm not asking just for me, but I'm included in that because, you know, we all need to have some kind of income and cash flow to survive. It does take time in order to participate in the process, and time is worth something. Now let's go back, and I appreciate your answer, by the way. So the poll workers are paid. So if you can go and be a poll worker, you can get paid money to participate in the civic process. However, if we're going to return to a hand count, that's going to have to go through a vote of the county commission, isn't it?
Well, that's one way of doing it, yes.
Okay. So then maybe like a referendum or a citizens type initiative, is that another option?
Well, we've seen, and there's a couple counties out there, your side of the state, that have a petition going around to have a special election on getting rid of the machines. We'll see how that goes. And kind of lost my train of thought, but so, go ahead and ask the rest of your question there.
Yeah, no, that was good. You did good. This is excellent. And we're in uncharted territory here, and I feel like... you know, I started off the question by saying that this is really on my heart, so I had to temper, you know, how I described it, and it's a very big issue how all this cash is flowing. And then you mentioned that, you know, if we can get rid of these machines and some of the software licenses and return to a hand count at the precinct, then we can save the county some money on software licensing. But then it's not clear how we could redirect those cash flows into the coffers of the people who are truly dedicated to democracy. And what that means is when an election happens, if your candidate or issue doesn't win, that's it. You accept the result because you trust that result. And we can't trust the result right now, so none of the results are getting accepted. But, you know, returning to a hand count is something that, you know, can go through the county commission, which is going to require an election. So if your county commission isn't with it, then there's no way to go back to a hand count, especially at the precinct. And I feel like this, you know, in some cases, this hustle has been run for a long time of taking the votes out of the precinct and bringing them up and counting them with a machine. I mean, the right. chain of custody,
well,
they're
state law,
wide open.
Our state law is written, almost all of it is directed at hand counting. So there's one statute in the absentee section of the law that says that those ballots can be counted with a tabulator at the county courthouse. So I don't know where we've come up with this idea that they don't have to be hand counted in the precinct, because all the state law says that it does. It's all laid out in black and white. And yes, all of that is documented on our website. There's a document on our sdcanvassing.com on the articles and documents page. And then you scroll down and there's a document with all the hand counting laws. Now, it's not a comprehensive list because, like I said, most of our state statute is based on hand counting. So really, I mean, those superintendents of those precincts could say they swear an oath they swear an oath before they take their post as precinct superintendent to do everything in their power to prevent fraud. And is there an end to the costs and the damage that happens when your elections are stolen? That is the primary right by which all other rights are protected. And to take away this right is to reduce a man to slavery. So I'm doing this for the future of my children and their future children. And so we need the men in this state and our counties and this country to stand up with that fierce mama bear protective instinct and to take back this country that belongs to us. And it starts with the elections. And if you can walk and you can talk, you can participate in this movement.
All right. Well said. Thank you so much, Jessica. This is John Dale. I want to share something with you that is near and dear to my heart, and that is my computer monitor. I'm a computer professional. I sit in front of this thing for my job every day, sometimes as much as 18 hours at a time. Over the years, I've been doing this for decades. I've developed something called computer vision syndrome. I have light sensitivity issues when I look away from the monitor. Now, if I step away from the computer for a while, it feels better. To work. I have to get my job done. And that's why I prefer digital ink monitors by DB to Dom. These things use that digital ink like an e-reader, so you don't have this light blasting into your face. They're awesome. Check it out. Go to dbtodom.com today. The Light Phone 2 is a premium minimal phone. It will never have any social media, clickbait news, email, an internal browser, or any other anxiety-inducing infinite feeds. It's an experience we call going light. It's a phone, it calls, it texts. There's a customizable menu of simple tools and a dashboard website to manage everything. There's a headphone jack, Bluetooth, and it can be used as a personal hotspot. The phone uses unique electric paper screen technology, also found in popular e-readers. This does not emit any blue light like a traditional backlit screen. It's visible in direct sunlight and limited to black and white, intentionally. So if you're interested in the Light Phone, go to thelightphone.com and tell them John Dale sent you. When the internet first came out, it promised to connect the world, and it did. Unfortunately, baked into the internet is the ability to get information about other people. Like lots of information. Of every imaginable type. We believe over time that by respecting your right to privacy, our communities become stronger and more trustworthy. At dbtodom.com, we believe that is a good thing to work for. Thank you.
Are you looking for a great gift for kids? I have one and make one-of-a-kind handmade hopscotch runners. You can keep those kids moving with this handmade hopscotch runner. It comes with two bean bags. The size of it is 22 inches by 79 inches. And it's made from a colorful collection of lightweight quilting type fabrics. That has a red heather colored fabric for the background and the backing. It's great for exercising and learning all in one activity. And the runner is machine washable as well. I have one currently available, and I will also take orders if you have a specific color or theme that you might be interested in. I'm asking $45 for these hopscotch rugs and the bean bags that come with it. You can reach me at 605-644-7337, and my name is Jessica. Thank you.
Hi, I've got a lot of good stuff. I've got a lot of collectible Beanie Babies. Got NFL players and... Yeah, they're like the rare special edition Beanie Babies also, and they're anywhere from $5 up. Yeah, nice Lazy Boy rocker recliner. It's like new, still got the plastic on it for $130. Got a pair of 10x50 speakers, binoculars, for $10. CDs for $1 each. Got an oak chair for $10, an antique oak chair for $25, got various fishing poles and a lot of tackle. Got a Black & Decker 18-volt cordless drill for $15, and automatic cigarette mowing machine for $20. So give me a call at 307-622-8830 if you'd be interested in any of these items. Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Hello, I'm in the market for crafting supplies, mainly like yarn, fabric, embroidery thread, or similar materials. If you have small supplies sitting around that you've been like meaning to give away or don't need anymore, I'd be glad to take it out of your hands. Just text me at 520-548-1311 and let me know if you're interested and what you have if you have something. Thanks. Have a good one.
Hello, my name is John Dale. I'm here in Spearfish. A lot of you may already know who I am. If so, Bully. I'm looking for somebody to play some music with. In particular, I'd like to sit in on some drums. I've been playing drums since jazz band in high school. I used to, whenever our drummer Carl got up from the kit, I just would hop over there and just start playing and got as much time as I could. And then been in several bands, and I always played drums in the bands and just always had a knack for it. But I'd like to develop a little bit more and develop myself and start to play for other musicians. So if you know of any band or musicians group here in Spearfish who's looking for a dynamic drummer who can do many different styles and genres of music, very adaptable and insightful. I've studied music, music theory, music production, and I've played lots and lots of guitar. A lot of you probably have already seen that. So at any rate, if you know anybody that's interested, I sure would like to connect and pound on some skins and have a little fun doing that. So just drop a note to this number, which is 605-549-5515. You can find that also at plainstribune.com. And let me know if you're interested in getting a session together. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Hi, I have two separate porcelain dolls I'm trying to sell. They can be bought together or separate. The first one is a 16-inch porcelain doll with navy velvet dress, bonnet, and doll stand, and I'm asking $20. This is a really cool old porcelain doll that is in really good condition. She has a pretty navy velvet dress and bonnet that has lace and feathers around it. She has all her original clothing, including bloomers, cotton tights, petticoat, and shoes. With the bonnet, she actually stands 18 inches tall, and she has blue eyes and light golden brown curly hair. She is in great condition, and again, that's a 16-inch porcelain doll with the navy velvet dress for $20. Then I also have a 14-inch porcelain doll with a white lace dress, toy bear, and doll stand. This is a really cute 14-inch doll. She's in very good condition. She has pretty blonde curls, blue eyes, and comes with a cute little teddy bear that she's holding. Her clothes are in good condition. She has cotton tights, long bloomers, shoes, and a lacy dress. I'm asking $20 as well for her. And both dolls, like I said, have their own stands. And my name is Jessica. You can reach me at 644-7337. And that is area code 605. Thank you. Hi, I have a 14-inch adorable ballerina bunny in a cute pink tutu dress. This is an adorable bunny stuffed animal with a cute satin and tulle tutu. And it's pink. On a white bunny. It freestands on its own and even has two little bows around its ears, which hang down really far along its back. This would be a great present for any little girl that loves ballet. It looks great sitting on a shelf or for a bed decoration. It is very well stuffed and keeps its shape. It's in good shape with no tears, worn spots, or stains. You can call me at 605-644-7337, and I am asking $20. Thank you.
We love our dogs. We love our pets. But sometimes we just can't afford to take them to the vet, and we have to do something unmentionable. If you or your family or friends find themselves in this circumstances, there's something that you can do. Call Hobo's Healing Heart or look them up on Facebook. I'm not a representative of them, but I would like to wholeheartedly recommend them to you before you consider doing the unthinkable to one of your most loyal, lifelong companions.
Hello, everyone. This is John Dale of Pretty Little Ditties. I play original music, and I do a lot of improv with my presentation. Every performance is different. I also love to teach and interact with people who appreciate and enjoy live music from a real person. I have deep knowledge and experience in music, and it comes through in the playing that I work hard to be able to bring to your event. If you'd like to have me out, please don't hesitate to drop me a note at info@plainstribune.com. Again, that's Pretty Little Ditties. That's what I'm calling my little music venture. So I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Howdy, folks. Hey, are you struggling to find a way to stay fit in the wintertime? It's just so easy to kick your feet up and have that fourth cup of hot chocolate with marshmallows, isn't it? Well, I solved this problem for myself about 3 years ago when I started cross-country skiing. We found our way up to the Big Hill facility here near Spearfish. You just hop on Tinton Road, you head up there on Big Hill. That's maintained by a Nordic ski group. I can't think of the, the Black Hills Nordic Ski Club or something like that. They're on Facebook. If you look up Black Hills Nordic Skiing and cross-country skiing, you'll definitely be able to find them. It's changed my life. It gives me that edge in winter. I don't put on that extra 5 or 10 pounds that then I'm looking at every spring. And it feels great for those of you who are active. I can wholeheartedly recommend that you head up to Big Hill and check out those trails. Also look them up on Facebook and get some pointers and tips for your skis and how to wax them and how you can help to be a good citizen up there. So anyway, I'd like to personally thank Nordic Ski Club folks up there for the work they do maintaining that trail. It's a life changer and it's awesome. It's something that I think I would like to see become more popular in the area. Thanks, everybody. Oh, this is John Dale, by the way. Have a great day.